Coming up on Money Bites by Smart Money People.
Our point of view is we see time and time again people with high cost credit who quite simply shouldn't have been given it in the first place.
There are always options for what you can do, no matter how bad the debt situation is.
4 seconds left. What would you name your pet giraffe?
The longer you leave it, the fewer nice options you have.
Welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People.
Hello and welcome to Money Bites by Smart Money People. Coming up on today's show, we're asking, who can help you get out of debt?
So, what do we have lined up for today? We've got Phil Andrew, CEO at Step Change, as well as Sarah Williams, founder of Debt Camel.
So let's kick off with Phil Andrew of Step Change. And do make sure to stick around for another sensational edition of Skittlemania.
Time to fire up the hot seat, as Mike welcomes another guest in to grill the big cheese.
We're delighted to have Phil Andrew, the CEO at Step Change, in the Money Bites studio with us. Step Change are a UK charity offering free debt advice and debt management guidance to help people tackle their debts. Hi Phil, so in your own words, can you tell us who are Step Change and what keeps you busy?
So Step Change are the UK's largest debt advice charity. We offer confidential, impartial and totally free advice to anyone who needs it. We're in some ways sad to see demand rising so substantially, and last year we helped in the region of 620,000 people in the widest possible way, and we got well over 300,000 people through full debt advice. So we're a very, very busy charity. We're based in Leeds. We've got about 1,600 wonderful and dedicated colleagues who jump out of bed every day to help people in problem debt.
What are the main reasons? You said you help a lot. I mean, that's basically over 1% of all UK adults, right? That's a lot of people that turn to Step Change every year to help them better manage their debt. So what are the main reasons that you see that people get into debt?
It's interesting that when I first joined the organisation, I thought there'd be a lot of people who come in and say, I've spent too much time going away on expensive weekends, I've got myself a bit out of control and I don't know what to do. That's actually quite a rare thing. Generally speaking, what we see is that it's people who have had a life event which has happened to them and they just weren't expecting it. People, generally speaking, don't have a good safety net now. You know, a large proportion of people in the UK have less than £100 in savings. So when something difficult happens, it can really knock you sideways. And so what we're seeing is that it can be anything from as simple as my washing machine's broken down and I don't know what to do about it, all the way through to bereavement, personal illness, separation, divorce and that kind of thing. And people, because they're not that prepared, fall into difficulty really, really quickly.
We've kind of seen that two-thirds of Step Change clients say that universal credit has made it harder for them to manage their finances. And we've got like a lot more kind of sophisticated credit products out there and emerging, right? And I guess we've also got a large-scale move to kind of gig economy type workforce, right? So I think I saw a stat that over 50% of the adult population is predicted to be freelance effectively in the next 10 years. That's a seismic shift to the way people were employed even kind of 20 years ago, right? Does that make you optimistic about the future, or does it actually make you quite pessimistic that actually what we're seeing now is effectively the tip of the iceberg? In 10 years' time, will things be better for UK consumers from a debt perspective, or actually are they getting worse?
There's a lot in there. Let's break that down into a couple of pieces, shall we? Let's start off with a bit of a discussion about universal credit, because a lot of people are hoping that I'll say universal credit is a terrible thing, it should never have been invented, and the government were utterly remiss in putting this in place. Actually, in theory, universal credit is a good thing. Bring everything together into a single piece, it's a good thing to do. The difficulty is that the mechanical delivery of it has not worked well. And so do we think that universal credit should be abolished? No, we absolutely don't. Do we think it's got some fundamental problems? Yes, we do. So there are two fundamental difficulties. The first one is the government has decided that when you're in financial distress and applying for universal credit, that this is the right time to teach you what it's like to get paid monthly by waiting 5 weeks to give you your benefits. We think that it's the worst possible time to give somebody that type of financial education, because it pushes so many people into financial distress. And so that has to be changed. We know the financial mechanisms are in place within DWP to allow that to be changed, but the decision has not yet been made. The other point which we really are being very firm on is if you owe the government some money through council tax, debts, or whatever it happens to be, they can come and get that from you out of your universal credit at source before you get it yourself. And that can be up to 30% of universal credit. Now, our difficulty is the fundamental philosophical definition of universal credit is that it's the minimum amount the government thinks you need to survive in your personal circumstances. So taking 30% off that and saying, there you go, you should be fine, clearly is never going to work. And we've talked a lot with HM Treasury about this. They took the maximum deduction from 40% to 30%, but quite frankly, it's just not enough. So then going on to your next question, which is around how do I feel about the gig economy environment and whether or not the whole environment is going to get more difficult. I have to say I'm not confident and I'm not optimistic. If you think at the moment about the number of people who need help, there are various metrics. The first metric is how many people are in crisis debt today, and we think, and Money and Pension Service think, that's about 3 million people, which in itself is, quite frankly, a shocking statistic, isn't it? But if you then take people with minimal or no savings who are at risk of falling into crisis within a short period of time, that's 9 million people. So if you think, to your point, earnings are becoming much less certain through gig economy, there's an immediacy addiction fueled by social media and the way people generally live their lives, that everybody is living their best possible life, and if you're not keeping up, you're in some way not doing the right thing. So you take uncertainty of income and that structure, and the fact that people aren't saying, right, I've earned £1,000 this week, I might not earn £1,000 next week, so I better put £250 to one side. Generally speaking, people aren't doing that. And so that creates huge volatility in the earnings, and it means that people fall into trouble much more quickly.
And when they fall into trouble, they call organisations like Step Change. And when you get a call from a consumer for the very first time and they tell you, look, we can't handle the amount of debt that we've got, you know, we can't pay bills, etc., what kind of steps does Step Change go through with them?
So we have a really rigorous process. So the first thing we do is get a base assessment of what their financial situation is. So there's no getting away from the fact that when you are brave enough and take that step to come to Step Change and say, I need some help, we need a lot of information. We need to know who you owe money to, what your income is, if your finances are integrated with a partner or someone else. There's all sorts of things we need. So we get that done as quickly as we can and as painlessly as possible. And what that does is it gives us a really good feel for how much trouble are you in. Now, the first thing I'd say is our most common reaction when somebody rings in is, we really wish you'd come to us a year ago. It's almost a uniquely British thing that we don't talk about money. Quite often we see individuals who haven't even told their partner about their financial difficulties. So when we've got that base data, and we do that in two ways. We do it online. So a lot of people don't want to talk about money, and we get that. It's absolutely fine. So you can go online and do everything online and get that assessment without having to talk to an individual at any time of a day or night. Go on to stepchange.org, look at debt remedy, and go through that process. When we've got all of that data, it gives us a sense of, do you have a little bit of a surplus? Do you have no surplus at all? Do you have any prospect? Is anything going to change in your life that might make things a little bit better? And we take all of that, and it's built into our internal systems into a very sophisticated algorithm, which we've been working on for many years, that says, given your circumstances, these are the things. Either you're fine, which is rare, maybe we need to put you on a repayment plan, a debt management plan, or there might be something more extreme we need to do, like individual voluntary arrangement, bankruptcy or whatever. And the things that we can offer to individuals varies depending on whether you're in England and Wales or Northern Ireland or Scotland, because things change.
And how important a factor is the affordability of credit? So we talked about how for most people it could just be a kind of a dramatic life event that actually kind of throws them off. So they've been managing just about okay, and then one bad month comes along that provokes them to phone up or kind of go to the website and seek help.
But how much of a factor do you think it really is in terms of the cost of credit?
From a step change perspective, I think our challenge is more how are creditors establishing the affordability. So now, there are high-cost credit cards, and high-cost credit cards aren't in themselves a bad thing, because sometimes if you've got a poor credit rating, you're going to have to pay more for credit. Our point of view is we see time and time again people with high-cost credit and other types of credit who quite simply shouldn't have been given it in the first place, because there wasn't a reasonable prospect of them being able to pay it back in a decent amount of time, and then the interest rate spirals up. So we've been working very hard with some of the large higher cost credit card providers to try to help them to be a bit more careful about their affordability, because it doesn't suit them either. If you go into default and it's likely they're not going to get their money back, that doesn't suit them either. So whilst you've got a personal problem, they've got a big problem as well.
We talked about thoughts about the future, right, and whether the debt problem that a lot of people face is likely to get better or worse. Obviously, kind of one of the facts of the last few years has just been that the household debt just seems to be continuously kind of creeping up. At what point do you think it becomes a crisis point? How big does that household debt get before it becomes something that everyone is alarmed about?
We're way beyond crisis point here, let's be clear. I mean, if we had any other form of difficulty affecting 9 million people in the UK, it would be all over the press. And the fact remains that because people don't want to talk about it, and a lot of the people we're seeing who are in difficulty on the surface look absolutely fine. They look like you and me. They've got a nice car on contract hire. They've got an interest-only mortgage, and et cetera, et cetera. People look fine, but quite often they're not. So I think we've got an issue of recognition. I think we've got an issue of breaking down taboos, and I think we are making some progress. We're moving as an organisation. We've got a very ambitious goal that by 2023 we'll have doubled the number of people we help, and we aim to help people much earlier. So we're doing a lot of early intervention work with banks, etc. at the moment, that says rather than as being purely an ambulance at the bottom of a cliff charity where we really effectively mop you up and try to make you better again, but we're getting you way before that. It's harder to get funded for that, because there isn't an obvious link between getting somebody 2 years before they fall into crisis debt and a defaulting situation. But I think the government, it's very easy to have a go at the government at all times, isn't it? But there are some things that the government have done really well here. So we're looking at persistent debt challenges at the moment. So the Financial Conduct Authority have taken a look at people who have very high credit card balances and are only paying off the minimum, and they're deeply profitable for the credit card provider, just because very high balance, very high interest, just pay off the minimum, and you can be in that situation for years and years. To give the Financial Conduct Authority credit, what they've done is said, okay, credit card providers, that's not okay. You can't do that anymore. The impact of that, though, is that in February and March, over a million letters are going to land on the mats of individuals who are not in breach, they've not defaulted, and the credit card providers are going to say, we're not allowed to let you anymore be in this position, so we're going to be increasing your monthly payments. Now, if you get that, it's a problem, because if you could afford to make bigger monthly payments, you would have done. Now, we're standing up a bespoke service for that, funded by the Money and Pension Service, which will help with that. But we think that probably between 20 and 25% of people who come to us because they've got that credit card issue actually need full debt advice. So that's going to really, really create significantly more demand than we've had in the past. And we're already, to be honest, very stretched.
Mm. Sounds like a busy few months ahead, busy few years ahead. Phil, if you were given the combined powers of Boris, the Queen, and the entire British Parliament for just one day, what one thing would you do to help British consumers in debt?
if you can indulge me, I can't just do one thing. It's going to be significantly more than that. So we spent a long time pushing through this concept of breathing space as legislation. So when you put your hand up and say, I'm in financial trouble, the bailiffs have got to stop, the letters have got to stop, the financial heavy penalties have got to stop. And that's coming into statute, and it's in statute now and will be rolled out over the coming few years. That needs to get rolled out and rolled out well. It's going to have a huge impact on how we undertake advice, and we're looking forward to that. But there are things that need to happen around that. We're pushing hard on bailiff reforms at the moment. Bailiffs are unregulated as a industry. There's very little independent oversight, and a lot of the people that we're seeing come to us are really suffering detriment by inappropriate bailiff action. So that needs dealing with, and we're working with the Ministry of Justice on that at the moment. The universal credit challenges we've talked about, that has to get fixed. It's pushing so many people into problem debt. So if we can do that, if I could have £40 million more funding, that would be really handy to allow us to help more people. And I think the big thing that we're working on at the moment with Money Advice Trust and Citizens Advice and the Money and Pension Service is just working more closely together.
Where can our listeners find out more about Step Change?
So we have a heavy presence within the media, because we've got a great big policy team who do a lot of work on getting legislation changed and that kind of thing. So our social media feeds are very strong, and so take a look at those. But if you are in difficulty, what I'd say is don't wait. Just if you've got any difficulties at all, if you're just slightly concerned or curious, go on to stepchange.org. Have a look at our Money Aware website, have a look at our persistent debt service offer, and if you think that you might be in difficulty, we have a 60-second debt test. You can just have a check. It asks you 7 or 8 different questions. It'll give you a really good feel for whether you need debt advice, and if you do, you can click and just go straight through the process online. If you'd prefer to call. The phone number you can find on the website. But as I say, we've got a very large group of staff who are there to help. And if you do come in, the one thing we can promise is we will not judge you. We'll be completely impartial. We'll be very, very honest. And very importantly, we will never, ever charge you. There are imposter organisations out there, for-profit organisations who pretend to be Step Change. So if you're Googling, ideally just go straight to stepchange.org, but if you're Googling us, just be careful of those paid ads at the top of Google. We'll only be stepchange.org. You'll see things like Step Interchange, Change for Steps, etc. These are imposter organisations who will try to take you through debt advice and then charge you for the process. So just type it in carefully.
It's a great word of warning, Phil. And look, that is something that millions of consumers have massive problems with. And as you talked about, it's actually only likely to get worse, right? Despite the kind of good work of organisations like Step Change. So thank you for coming in to chat to us a bit more about the work you're doing.
And now, get your chopsticks ready. It's Skittlemania!
We've put a bunch of Skittles into Cup 8 and given our guest a pair of chopsticks. Over 90 seconds, Phil will attempt to transfer as many Skittles from Cup A into Cup B, whilst answering some of the silliest questions the Smart Money People team can muster. Let's see if Phil can seize the Skittles and chart to the top of the Money Bites leaderboard. Are you ready, Phil?
I am nervous but ready.
Your time starts now. What is your favourite coloured Skittle?
Green.
Would you rather it rains every day for the rest of your life, or that you have a constantly blocked nose?
I'd like it to rain every day. I love the rain.
You're doing pretty well on the Skittle front, Phil. What is your favourite spread to put on a slice of toast?
Marmite.
That is a divisive choice. You're doing really well on the Skittle front. Keep going. Is it acceptable to wear double denim?
Never.
Who is your favourite boy band? And you're allowed more than one choice.
Do I have to say one? Westlife.
Awesome choice. Is there life on Mars?
No.
Name 4 American states.
Alabama, Wisconsin, North Dakota, South Dakota.
Very good. 35 seconds left. Is it okay to recline your seat on an aeroplane?
Yes.
You're doing very well on the skill front. Eddie's looking very nervous. Do you ask for a knife and fork when given chopsticks at a Chinese restaurant?
No.
10 seconds left. Would you rather win an Oscar, a Nobel Prize, or the World Cup?
Nobel Prize.
4 seconds left. What would you name your pet giraffe?
Hector.
Hector the giraffe. Your time is up. Well, that seems like a pretty amazing haul. How many Skittles do you have, Eddie?
24, I count.
24 Skittles. That is an incredible haul, Phil. That's significantly more than we would expect from a typical guest. But look, you guys at
Can Step I confess Change... that I did live in Hong Kong?
Yeah, Phil kept that very quiet until now. Phil, look, that's a Herculean effort on the Skittles, and the work that you guys do at Step Change is Herculean to many of the customers that you help. So thank you for coming in again.
Well, thank you for your time. Thank you.
Next up, Mike chatted with Sarah Williams of Debt Camel. Sarah set up Debt Camel in 2013 to offer advice for those who find themselves struggling with mounting debt. She has since become a leading voice in the movement to help consumers avoid debt crisis. Take it away, Mike.
Hi, Sarah. Thanks for joining us. So first of all, can you tell us what is Debt Camel all about and what made you start the website?
I'm a debt advisor, and about 6 years ago, I was thinking, rather than talking to so many people quite late on in their debt problems, it would be good to get more information out that people can just look at on the web before they're actually at crisis point, because at that point there may be things they can do to improve their situation. And so that was really why I wanted to get information out, which was very accessible on a mobile. The big national debt charities like National Debt Line and Citizens Advice and Step Change do a great job of putting information out there, but it's very formal and quite corporate. And I thought having a blog where there was common sense advice, good sound debt advice, but with a little bit of humour put in, the odd picture, the odd exclamation mark, might be more accessible to people who haven't yet reached that crisis point.
And you talk about, obviously, people in debt. Sometimes, you know, when we're anxious about our own debt, we sometimes there's a tendency to just try and ignore the problem or kind of hope it kind of goes away, right? What should we be doing when we can smell that something's not right, but we don't know where to go? What should we be doing? Who should we be turning to?
This is a really key problem. I mean, Step Change say that people often wait a year to go to them after they've known they've got a serious problem. It's human nature to hope things are going to get better. You know, you always know you've had a bad month this month because the car needed servicing and the month before was Christmas, and it can go on like that. And then you realise that actually every single month is being a bad month, or, you know, 11 months out of 12 are being bad months, and your debt are going up. So that's the warning sign I think people should be looking for. If you'll got high debts but they're going down, then, you know, these may be under control and you should be looking at ways to reduce your expenses, cut your utility bills and things and get them down a bit faster. But if every month or most months your overdraft plus your credit cards plus your catalogue bills plus money you owe on, you know, important bills like electricity, council tax and things, if they are trending up, then you are getting into more dangerous situation. And the longer you leave it, the fewer nice options you have. There are always options for what you can do, no matter how bad your debt situation is. But the earlier you get advice, the better.
So every few months, some stats come out telling us that household debt in the UK is going up. Do you think we're now in a debt crisis mode, or actually is it only really with increasing interest rates that we see kind of the full extent of the crisis?
I think what we've got at the moment is a very divided country debt-wise. Because interest rates are so low, there are a very large number of people that are absolutely fine with their mortgages and their credit card bills, and they're managing them and they really don't have a problem. Incomes have been static for many people, not everyone, but a lot of people have had their incomes frozen or gone up very little since 2010. And many people have also seen the benefits that they get cut over that time as well. And this has produced a squeeze. There's less income coming in, and we all know that inflation has carried on. The amount of people's disposable income, the amount they've got left after buying the essentials like food and paying the rent and the council tax and their utility bills and transport to work, the amount of money that's left after that, which is available to pay people's debts, for many people is going down. And that is what is creating a debt crisis for millions of people in this country. So we've got a situation where some people are absolutely fine and the interest rates aren't a problem to them, and they would have to go up quite a way before they did get a problem. And other people are not fine at all at the moment because they aren't paying those low interest rates. If you've got catalogues or credit card bills and things, you are not paying these nice 2-4% loans you can see advertised. You're going to be paying 18%, 28%. If you've got bad credit cards aimed at people with bad credit, you can be paying 40% on those credit cards. And then there's the real high interest end of credit as well, which payday loans, guarantor loans, logbook loans, doorstep lending. These have got horrendous interest rates on.
Well, look, when you look at kind of growing areas of consumer credit, so I'm thinking things like buy now, pay later, are you worried that we're not learning kind of the lessons of Wonga fast enough? And actually, a few years down the line, all we're kind of building up to is even a bigger kind of a debt crisis?
Yes, I think it's quite clear that we haven't learned and actually applied the lessons from Wonga. So the big lesson coming through from Wonga and the other payday loans as well, Wonga was just the biggest one and the most famous with those horrible puppet adverts. But the lesson from that is that the regulators say that before somebody is given credit, the lender should check that they can afford to repay that credit without hardship and without getting behind with their other bills and debts. And if a loan or a credit card or something is not affordable, then the lender shouldn't give it. So that was what went wrong with Wonga. Wonga was allowed to carry on giving out all these loans, which left people in such a bad position the next month when they had to repay their payday loan that they took out another loan. So people would borrow from Wonga or from the other big payday lender, so Quickquid has also gone into administration recently. For month after month, people were doing this for years at a time, and the amount of interest they paid over that time is absolutely phenomenal. So these were people in desperate situations who, when they actually have added all this up, because they don't realise at the time, they're just looking at what they're doing this month, but when they get back the total of what interest they've actually paid, they find they've paid £5,000 in interest to a payday lender. So the payday lenders didn't check, the regulators didn't enforce the rules. And the question now for the other sorts of borrowing is that not enough checks are being done up front. And also with some of these new sorts of borrowing, they are making it very simple and very quick to get into debt without people really thinking about it. If you apply for a payday loan, you knew you were applying for a payday loan. It might not be sensible to do, but you know, you made a deliberate decision to do it. With some of these ones which are deliberately designed around the retail shopping process, the aim is for it to make it as quick as possible to get you the loan or the credit so you can get what is in your shopping basket at the moment, and that it will go through speedily and fast. And in a way, that's nice because, you know, it's making things easier to buy, and we none of us like going through sort of long processes. But the downside is you can end up buying more than you can actually afford because this form of credit doesn't feel like real money to you.
Look, Sarah, it's been fantastic to have you on. You are a huge authority when it comes to debt, and millions use your site to help actually kind of in that first step of kind of trying to understand what they should do and where they should turn to if they find themselves in difficulty. Where can our listeners find out more about your work?
They can go onto my website, which is debtcamel.co.uk. I talk about lots of sorts of different debts there, not just high cost credit. And I also list good places for you to go to get help, because a lot of my work is not actually solving a particular reader's problem, but giving them good signposting for who they should talk to.
Well, thanks again, Sarah, for joining us on the Money Bites podcast. It's been a pleasure. And that's all we have time for on this week's Money Bites. Our thanks to Sarah Williams of Debt Camel and to Phil Andrew of Step Change. Please do remember to subscribe, review, and why not visit us at Smart Money People. Goodbye.